Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome once again to another edition of the FootballDiehards.com podcast. My name is Skip Lacombe, joined as always by Bob Harris, Senior Editor with FootballDiehards.com. Bob, how's it going?
Going good. How you doing, Skip?
Oh, I can't complain. Another Friday here, another week in the books, and a lot of football stuff going on this week. Man, the presses have just been going nonstop.
You know, it really does seem, you know, today I was just, you know, looking at over the news and views I've written up today, and really not a lot of it is news, but we sure want to talk about it. It just seems like the excitement level's up. Maybe it's because there's not a lot going on, you know, no real news going on. So we're just looking to fill the void with maybe rehashing some stories and, you know, looking at things that are more off the field. But, hey, it keeps football on the radar, and that's what matters around here.
Yeah, perhaps not actual news, but the rumor mill certainly is going strong.
The chatter is incessant.
Absolutely. And, of course, the number one chatter, the number one name that is peaking on all kinds of chatter meters right now is Brett Favre. You know what? At this point, I'm not even going to lie. I don't even know what's going on. Bob, go. What's he going to do?
He's going to wait and see if his shoulder's okay. You know, the latest reporting from ESPN, and again, when we're hearing it from ESPN, we're hearing from Brett Favre, basically, is that he's visited Dr. James Andrews, a renowned orthopedist who repairs all the nature of things for everybody. And basically, he's looking, trying to figure out if he can get back. You know, he's trying to come up with some rehab options that don't include surgery. And right now, I think a recent report kind of really frames it up nicely. It was from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It's Greg A. Bedard, the beat writer there. And he feels like what he quoted as being reasonably sure what's going on. Favre tested the arm early last week. It didn't go well. He called the Vikings to say he was done. The arm is hurting, not working. Vikings said, come on, not so fast. Let's take a look at it and see how bad it is. And so I think they're still in that process. And I think that, you know, everything here depends on Favre's shoulder. If he thinks he can fix it with some exercises, there's a little bit of a tendon. They're trying to pop free. If they can get that pop free, they believe the pain will go away and that he can play a year without the kind of pain he had last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think either way, again, we've discussed, you know, in all our discussions, the quick resolution is not going to come on this one. This is going to be drug out as long as you can. Hey, if Brett Favre could get out of going to training camp, he would get out of going to training camp and drag this thing well into August if he could. I don't think he'll be able to, but I do think he can drag it out through July and, you know, until training camp basically starts, and then maybe we'll get something firm. We could get something before then, but I wouldn't bank on it.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, if at this point the only thing really holding up discussions is Favre's shoulder, I mean, why hasn't anything come out about that? I mean, all these x-rays and MRIs have been with, I mean, the Vikings, with all kinds of doctors for at least a week now at this point. I mean, are we going to get any sort of closure on this anytime soon?
No, I don't think we will, because I think the deal is right now is that they're trying to see if they can maybe use some exercises or some therapeutic measures. There's one little bit of the bicep tendon. And the logic is he could either go in and have it scoped and have it snipped. Then there would be like a 3 to 6 week rehab, which in my mind might suit him real well because it would keep him out of a lot of workouts. But he seems to be averse to surgery. Now, there are some suggestions out there that it's going to take more than just that bicep, and that's what the real holdup is, that it could use a more general clean out. But Favre has never been, you know, quick to go to the knife and apparently doesn't want to here. You know, he's had the issues with pain-killing, addiction to painkillers in the past. Maybe he wants to avoid that. Or, you know, maybe he's just, you know, doesn't like invasive procedures. Who does? But he thinks the general consensus is if he thinks he can pull it off through some kind of exercises or some kind of rehab that will pop that tendon, then see how it feels without having to go either getting scoped or operated on, that's what he wants to do. And that's what we're going to wait on. And, you know, again, you know, this is Brett Favre. This will drag out as long as it possibly can by nature. And, I mean, you know, the motivation is still the same. You know, we got a little more detail on that today from Scott Hansen. The NFL Network kind of shared some conversations Favre had with the commissioner last year when he was asking for reinstatement and when he basically said he wanted to kick Ted Thompson's posterior twice annually. That's his goal right now. And, you know, it is, you know, that's, whether you like it or not, that's what's driving him. And if he can get back on the field with the Minnesota Vikings, he will. And I don't think we're going to get the resolution soon. But I think the resolution, it doesn't matter. The resolution is he's going to play for the Vikings if he can at all get on the field.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I'm no doctor, too, but meaning to snap your tendon yourself as opposed to going in for a minorly invasive surgery doesn't really sound too smart to me, but, hey, that's Brett Favre. Final question. Go ahead.
You know, I think the bigger deal here is, you know, we've heard a lot from Vikings players. I just think this is the kind of issue that the longer it goes on. I mean, you have to wonder how good this is for the current quarterbacks there. I mean, Sage Rosenfels and Tarvarius Jackson, or Sage Varus. Or Jackson Fells, as he is called in Minnesota. I think, you know, it can't be good for those guys and to have other teammates. You know, Adrian Peterson was on television doing his Nike promotions yesterday, so he made the rounds on all the networks. And, you know, talking about the excitement of if Brett Favre came, you know, Jared Allen is on every time you turn on a television box. You can catch him rocking his mullet or some kind of animal skin cap and talking about Brett Favre. And, hey, I mean, you know, at some point there's got to be some discussion in the team that, hey, do we really need this kind of distraction? And I'm not sure that it ever really works out in anyone's best interest.
What's the vibe up in Minnesota as far as fans and teammates? I mean, do they want Brett Favre to be a part of this team at this point? Or,
you know, based on what you're hearing from teammates, they're ready to keep an open mind. Hey, Brett Favre is still, you know, a Hall of Fame quarterback in their mind. And, you know, if you can get this guy, if he can play, they're definitely not saying a lot of negative things about him. You have heard some guys, Chad Greenway, the linebacker, you know, kind of question the motivations. And I think that would be the biggest question among the Vikings players is his motivation to come back and win a Super Bowl, which, you know, they by rights think they're probably not too many players away from being in the running for, let's face it. And one of those players might be a decent quarterback. So, you know, they all hold out that hope, but is he coming back for that, or is he coming back to stick it to the Packers? Well, I mean, it's pretty clear that sticking it to the Packers is a big part of the reason, and he would have to convince the teammates that winning is also one of his goals. And, hey, by showing up and getting in a little bit of work with him, I would suggest he'll be able to do that. Players tend to move forward pretty quick once they get that resolution, but I do think they would like some resolution.
Absolutely, and if Favre goes up there and performs, it'll only take 1 week for the fans to embrace him.
Oh, the fans would be loving it. And, you know, just the fact that they're sticking it to an arch rival just by his mere presence, they would love.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, that's hopefully all we'll do on the Favre updates for today, but I'm sure next week we'll kill another 6 or 7 minutes with it. But moving on to one of my favorite stories of the week, Chad Johnson, Ocho Cinco Johnson, now will be able to have his Ocho Cinco on his jersey. He changed his name legally last August to Chad Ocho Cinco, and now it looks like this year the Ocho Cinco will be represented on his jersey. What do you think about that?
Yeah, kind of. You know, I think not exactly what he wanted. The NFL maybe taking a little hardline approach with that. They're going with the name as he wrote it on his paperwork, which is the single word, Ocho Cinco, all one word, whereas all his personal marketing materials and the stuff he sells on his website is the Ocho Cinco, two words. So there may be a little bit of a dig at Mr. Ocho Cinco, but hey, we're going to see a lot of them. We're going to enjoy seeing a lot of them. It's going to be all summer long, and it is going to be Ocho Cinco, and I'm on board with that. Hey, make it a little more exciting, make it a little more fun. Anything that picks up his spirits just a little bit and maybe gets him motivated to actually play well, I'd be happy to see.
You know, people have a long time kind of faulted him for his on-field antics. He's very animated, larger-than-life type character, and I think that's really good for the league. I mean, I have nothing but praise for Mr. Ocho Cinco. I mean, I wish he could tone it down maybe a scotch or two, but I really think it does nothing but good for the league. Now, what I was trying to think of is the last time a player has gone through this type of a situation and been able to actually alter the type of jersey he's going to wear. I got to think that this jersey, being officially licensed in NFL apparel, is going to sell really well.
Oh, it'll sell reasonably well. I mean, that's the whole reason he couldn't switch to it last year was the big stockpile of C. Johnson's sitting in a warehouse somewhere waiting to be sold, and he didn't want, you know, when players do make this change, they have to either purchase those jerseys. Like, sometimes players want to change their number, and they end up not changing their number because, hey, they don't want to have to buy a big, you know, a factory load of jerseys somewhere that the league had hoped to sell. So that's one of the issues. You know, I think just on the bigger thing, you know, people really didn't mind so much Chad Johnson's antics when they appeared to be done in fun. But when they started becoming a little more bitter, as it seemed to be the case last year, and I mean, just, you know, when he started doing trying to talk his way out of Cincinnati, he really took kind of a mean-spirited approach that seemed to be not him. And it kind of made you wonder, what is the real Chad Johnson? Is that fun-loving guy we watched and we kind of enjoyed, is that really him, or is it this guy who's sitting here just trying to, you know, trying to be as obstinate, as mean-spirited as he can in an effort to get to a new team. And then, you know, when he can't get to the new team, oh, everything's better now. Well, you know, who are you? You know, and I think, you know, as fans, we'd like to think we know who these guys are. And we, you know, as much as we realize it's a business, we wish we didn't have to see it. That, you know, we don't always want to see the sausage being made. And in his case, it was, you know, there was that string of appearances last year around the Super Bowl where just everywhere he went, he was doing the kind of sullen Joaquin Phoenix, you know, the non-responsive interviews and, you know, just all kinds of zaniness. And I just don't think people want to see that. I mean, we may know it goes on. We may understand why it goes on. But do we want to watch it every day? And, you know, some of this, you know, just like the Favre story, I mean, you know, there, you know, 10 years ago, this story, we wouldn't have known all the ins and outs. We wouldn't have known the minute-by-minute TikTok of all these issues that are going on. And now we do know the minute-by-minute. And I think, you know, at some point it kind of disheartens people a little bit to see, you know, how much of a business it is, even though we know it is.
Mm-hmm. No, that's absolutely true. And, you know, we're really going to be able to see a little bit more of that coming into this offseason because the Bengals are going to be part of HBO's Hard Knocks. So we're going to get going from doing some hard time to some hard knocks. That's been the line of the day I've liked. Is that good for the organization? Is that bad for them? Is that any PR is good PR?
It's great for the organization as long as nobody gets arrested. There's no, you know, I mean, this could just go south so quick. You know what I mean?
By Murphy's Law, I mean, somebody will get arrested over the 2.5 months.
Well, Murphy's Law, the Bengals Law, I mean, it's going to be 8 guys that are going to get arrested. So hey, you know, you hope again that that's not the exposure the league and the Bengals end up getting. You'd like to see it work out. You know, I've enjoyed watching the series in the past, even, you know, even with some of the more, you know, more narcissists, you know, the Terrell Owens, watching him. I mean, some of these guys really like to see themselves on the television, and they try and inject themselves in the storylines a little bit. But, you know, we're going to see that with Chad Ochocinco, I'm pretty sure. And I'm pretty sure that Carson Palmer is not 100% on board with this. Having tried to get a number of interviews with him, he's not big on this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And that should make for an interesting dynamic, too. But, hey, it's always a fun show to watch. You know, the true reality, kind of television where you're watching guys work themselves to death and, you know, not everyone's going to make it. Some people are going to get voted off that island and some guys you've come to like, and there's going to be unexpected things. We just hope none of the unexpected things are arrested this year. That would not be cool.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is a really interesting show. Like you said, it's very much like a reality show, but as opposed to most of these reality shows where there's one person left at the end, no, we still get to watch the entire team play their whole year and watch how they implode and get to know these players and then get to watch them for 6 to 8 months.
Yeah, I think, you know, and yeah, hey, you can gain some insights on some, you know, what, you know, to help you create some expectations, you know, as a fantasy owner. I mean, you know, watching last year with the Dallas Cowboys, Martellus Bennett, you know, some of his antics as he was is John Garrett, the tight ends coach, was trying to coach him up and tell him how to act as a pro. And, you know, Bennett doing the eye rolls as soon as the coach would walk away. And, you know, you see some of those things. How serious is he really taking it? And it took him a while, you know, Bennett, to get on the same page with the rest of the team and start showing a little productivity. And I think we saw hints of that. So, you know, I like watching for those little storylines that play out. And, you know, hey, competitions are always, you know, that's why we watch just about everything we watch. We want to see someone impose their will on someone else, whether it's, you know, with the football, you know, shoving it down the other team's throat, whether it's, you know, mixed martial arts literally shoving someone's fist down someone's throat. We love that stuff as sports fans and as people in general. It's human nature. We love the competition. So this just lets us a little more inside that competition, and it's hard not to watch.
Well, no, at the end of the day, I mean, like any of the teams or hate any of these teams, this will be entertaining, good TV to watch.
Yeah, I've never, you know, been fans of any of the teams, really, that have been on, and I've loved every series. So I'm looking forward to this one, too. And, again, that pucker factor is going to be there every week. You're going to be going, man, is someone going to do something wrong? Because the Bengals have a little bit of a history, let's face it.
Absolutely. Another player who is desperately trying to get out of their situation or had been and is okay, Anquan Boldin. Now, some finally details are coming out about some of the offers that have been coming in for Boldin. Is that going to have any impact on what's going to be going on over the next couple of weeks, or do you think Boldin really is going to be able to stay with Arizona? I mean, what's going to happen there?
You know, Boldin has no leverage. I mean, even Drew Rosenhaus is admitting as much, you know. It's not a situation where, you know, he's going to be a free agent next year and he has, you know, he's going to be gone anyway. So he has some leverage on the team. He has no leverage. He's under contract for a couple more years, 2 more years. I think, you know, I was a little skeptical that the team was really all that interested in trading him back when they were talking about trading him. I think they were willing to listen to offers. And if you remember back to what they said, hey, you know, we want to keep him. And maybe we should have taken them at their word then, you know, but we all tend to, you know, want to read as much as possible into these statements and stuff. But I don't think the Cardinals have ever wanted to get rid of him. I think they want to keep him all along. Why should they? They have a great player and a great offense, works well with the components around him, fits into the scheme. And sure, he's a little unhappy, but, you know, he doesn't have a lot of options. I mean,
well, why is Anquan so unhappy? I mean, you keep hearing about how he's so unhappy there, how he wants out. Why? What does he have that is so poor there?
He contends that he was lied to by General Manager Rod Graves. He was told at some point that his contract would be addressed at a certain point in time, and he could have certain he could expect a certain rate of pay, and that didn't happen. And, you know, Larry Fitzgerald came along, and he got what he wanted. But he got what he wanted because his original contract put the Cardinals in a really bad position in terms of the salary cap. You know, he had a contract that was written in a way that the Cardinals had no choice but to give him a new deal. This is Anquan Boldin's second contract. He's already redone one. You know, this is the one he liked when he signed the second deal. So, I mean, unfortunately, I mean, he just doesn't have the leverage. And I think that bitterness that goes back to, hey, he lied. Hey, another guy got something. Hey, everyone else is getting theirs but me. I'm losing my chance. You know, again, we've said this before, Skip, and I think players need to realize in a lot of cases that, you know, the team has something to do with the success they achieve. And just going somewhere else, while it may, you know, they may get the big payoff or something, how many times have we seen a player? I mean, let's go back to the first big guy that we remember going from one to, let's go back to Alvin Harper, you know, going from Dallas to Tampa Bay. I mean, you know, how many guys like that can you name where maybe the system that they were in, the supporting cast, the coaching staff, everything was in the right to make them the kind of player they are, and getting their wish and moving on, the grass turned out not to be greener on the other side. And I'm not saying Boldin can't go carry a team, but most teams don't view him as a true number one receiver. And him wanting that $10 million, and we can go into that a little bit, Drew Rosenhaus said this week that he was looking for something less than $10 million. Well, we're hearing today that it might have been like $9,999,900. You know, I mean, it was not much less than $10 million. He was parsing a little bit, if you could imagine that. So, hey, that's the problem. He was too, but Boldin was too expensive in terms of compensation to give to the Cardinals and to make him happy on his contract, and nobody was willing to do it. So now he's pretty much stuck, and I don't think the Cardinals are going to be in any hurry to do that deal for him.
Well, and the more you hear about the situation, it almost kind of reminds me of, I think it was that a scene in that movie Jerry Maguire where the guy says, "Well, if I'm doing well, I should be able to renegotiate my contract up." He says, "Well, if you're doing poorly, can we renegotiate your contract down?" And well, that's just not how it works.
No, and again, you know, somebody has to have leverage to get something done, and I don't think Boldin has any leverage other than his unhappiness. And hey, he was unhappy last year, and he played pretty darn well, played through injuries, came back from a horrific hit and injury and surgery. So I'm not sure how much, you know, if just getting paid was his goal, I'm not sure how much he helped himself out with all that last year. The Cardinals are in position here to hold on to him, to not even discuss a new contract with him at this point. And he has, you know, he doesn't have very many options other than sitting out and making nothing, and nobody wants to do that.
Well, keep checking your Twitter for more updates.
Oh, yes. Yes, I'll be watching the Rosenhaus feed.
Absolutely. And let's see, some offensive coordinators for the Colts. Looked like they, news breaking earlier this week, that they would not be coming back next year. Now, a follow-up to that, looks like they may be coming in as some sort of consultant. How is that going to affect their offense next year?
Well, you know, I don't think that it's going to have a huge effect. By the way, they did promote Clyde Christensen to offensive coordinator, and Pete Metzelaars, who was the assistant offensive line coach, to fill the void left by Howard Mudd's departure. So, but the problem is with those guys leaving, there's an issue with the pension. The league decided they had a league-wide pension, a single plan for all assistant coaches, and they decided to put that in the hands of the individual teams. And so some of these older coaches who have a certain amount of time vested in it, there's uncertainty as to how that'll work, and they could, you know, to maximize their pension, they opted to sign out now. Well, we've seen that done before with Houston. The Texans did it with Alex Gibbs, and what happens is they'll come back as maybe consultants and not be considered actually on the coaching staff at some point. But, you know, the legal, you know, there'll be some rulings on that, but that can happen for now. But either way, you know, on a team where you're already changing Tony Dungy, you've got a defensive coordinator gone, you've got your special teams coordinator gone, now you're losing all your coordinators, so you essentially have a completely new staff of guys who have been there. And everybody who's there is basically being promoted. Jim Caldwell, you know, promoted to replace Tony Dungy. Christensen and Metzler is promoted to replace Mudd and Moore. And so I don't think you're going to see a huge change. But what I do wonder is, you know, especially with Tom Moore, him and Peyton Manning are so much on the same team, you know, or, you know, of the same mind. And Peyton Manning had basically just become an extension of Moore on the field. I mean, we've all seen him standing behind the center, you know, basically calling the show. So you have to wonder if there aren't going to be some issues and some more adjustments. And we all saw how, you know, some of those minor adjustments last year and some of the things they had to work through last year were problems and, you know, got them off to a slow start. And we can only hope that they could have enough time now to work through them in off-season workouts and in training camp and get everyone on the same page. But, hey, do you not think Peyton Manning couldn't call this offense by himself?
See, that's the thing is some people may be concerned that they, I mean, going with a completely new staff next year, they may be kind of a completely new team, but they've still got a lot of their core players there who still kind of know how to get the job done.
Yeah, same offense. They're going to run the same offense. They aren't going to, you know, the change on the defensive side of the ball, they're not really going to change away from the Tampa 2 that they ran. They may do some modifications. They may take a more aggressive approach. But, yeah, there's no major changes. And, again, Peyton Manning can call the plays. I think where you get hurt a little bit is just the higher level look at things and the strategy and game planning and stuff that goes on during the week. That might have an impact. But if Tom Moore is still there as a consultant, well, hey, that kind of removes that worry too. So I'm not gonna sit here and say that this is going to be a major loss.
Looks like too, Marshawn Lynch, Bills running back, who was suspended earlier a couple weeks ago. Looks like he's now not going to take that quietly. He's filed an appeal in an attempt to get involved with the first three games of the season. Is Roger Goodell going to have any chance to overturn this, or is he going to stay fat? Do you think?
You know, there are those out there who are optimistic that he might, and I mean, it would not be unprecedented. Last year, he reduced Brandon Marshall's suspension from three games to one game. I think that's what people in Buffalo are kind of hoping will happen with Lynch, who, by all accounts, has really gone out of his way to be a pillar of the community in, you know, the last few months, has started some programs in the community in Buffalo since this most recent arrest. He was the one who initiated the meeting with Roger Goodell that led to his suspension. I mean, he wanted to expedite it and really get on it, and I heard he came off well to the commissioner. So there is a good chance it could be reduced. You know, then again, the commissioner could say, well, I reduced Brandon Marshall's suspension, and the first thing he did this offseason was get arrested again. So, you know, so he maybe has learned a little bit of a lesson. But I do think there is a possibility. If not, the Bills did sign Fred Jackson, got his contract done, so he's a little happier. Jackson and Dominic Rhodes would get a shot to see who's going to be the starter for however many games Marshawn Lynch misses. And right now I would say Jackson is the favorite for that. And he played pretty well last year at times. So I don't think it's going to hurt the Bills if Lynch misses three games. The big deal is for fantasy owners. How do you evaluate a guy when you're heading into a draft until you know how many games he's going to miss and you can kind of adjust your projections accordingly? So hopefully we'll get some quick resolution on this one. I do think we will.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. It seems like Goodell recently has really been trying to make an effort to improve the image of these players, and I'm just not sure if reducing another one of these suspensions is going to really have the effect that he wants to. It seems like he's really trying to turn this in the next direction, although he's been trying to for a couple of years.
Hey, carrot and stick, man. You know, you lose in one game, that's a pretty expensive thing for a player. It hurts the team pretty badly, and you know, when you guys maybe acting right and doing some of the things that we've seen Lynch do, maybe the carrot and the stick both working in combination are a nice approach.
Yeah, who knows? Well, heading up to New York, Jets running back Leon Washington is not really happy with his contract. Looks like he's now wanting to see if he can get something renegotiated too. Plus, there may be some question as to who's going to be the starting quarterback for the Jets next year.
Yeah, you know, the running back thing is kind of interesting right now because Thomas Jones is unhappy too, so they've got both of their top two backs not working, and actually Sean Green can't practice with him in minicamp until his college class graduates, so they're really they're getting some work down there on the bottom of the depth chart. But I think, you know, Leon Washington, his agent sounds upbeat about getting a deal done. Rex Ryan kind of came out yesterday and took some shots at the agent. It's Alvin Keels is his agent, who Ryan believes has given the client some bad advice. Hey, Leon Washington is going to get some money. He would like to get that $6 million range like Darren Sproles got. Not sure he'll get that much, but he could get a nice long-term extension. Thomas Jones, on the other hand, not likely to get a lot of money. They've already paid him $13 million over the last 2 years. He's due $900,000 this year, has one more year left on the contract. I think their selection of Sean Green in the draft is kind of an indication of what direction that will ultimately take. But either way, I think your opening day starter is Thomas Jones, and Leon Washington will continue to play that kind of change of pace role. At the quarterback, hey, I think Rex Ryan has made it pretty clear that this is Mark Sanchez's job to lose. I mean, Kellen Clemens is going to get a chance to compete, and I'm sure it'll be an up-and-up competition, but Rex Ryan comes from Baltimore. He saw what you can do with a rookie quarterback in Joe Flacco last year if you bring him in and get him some experience early. You might struggle a little bit early, but it tends to pay off. And I'm not sure I totally disagree with that approach. We saw it work two different guys last year. We've also seen it done the other way. Carson Palmer will sit. Carson Palmer sat for a year, and he turned out okay, and some guys – they come in early. Joey Carrington, you look back in Detroit and didn't work out bringing him in early right away. So I think they are going to keep an open mind. But if at all possible, Mark Sanchez is going to be the opening day starter. It's going to be hard for Kellen Clemens to win that job. And hey, if Kellen Clemens was really all that good, they wouldn't have been drafting Mark Sanchez in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you make a good point there. I mean, they wanted Sanchez. They traded picks to get the position where they'd be able to get Sanchez. So I mean, it would really only make sense for them to.
Yeah, I think if you look at their draft where they traded up to get Sanchez first, and then they traded up the first pick in the second round to get Sean Green, who they felt was a first-round value, first-round talent. So I think they're looking at a very young offense and one that they can build on over the coming years. And I think they will. I think they made some good picks.
Very good. Also, some more updates via Twitter. Terrell Owens updated his Twitter last week with, quote, "Will BN buff next week for OTs?" So,
I'm not sure if Twitter is going to be the best thing ever happened to me or the thing that ultimately kills me. So many things have tried to do me in, and trying to keep up with the news in real time as it happens for a few hundred people, it's become quite interesting. But yeah, he is going to show up for the next round of voluntary workouts. He said he might or might not, depending on when it is. But it's starting to look like he understands, that it's in everyone's best interest. The better he gets on the page with Trent Edwards in the offense, the better they're going to be. And it's good to see him taking a little bit of a proactive approach.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, that can only be good for him. I mean, if you want to talk about a player who's had clouds follow him around, it would certainly be Terrell Owens. So maybe if he actually gets
you would like to see him working closely with the quarterback as opposed to against his quarterback.
Absolutely. Although, from what I understand, he may just put a bench press bench outside of the stadium and have people film him there. So,
he'll be there. Awesome.
All I know is he'll be there. We don't know if he'll actually be participating.
Well, they've got to have some fodder for the reality show, and I'm sure there'll be some humor in Buffalo, some fun situations for him to get into.
Absolutely. Another update, too, via Mr. Rosenhaus's Twitter feed is now Plaxico Burress is apparently drawing some interest, too. Is there any truth to that, or is Drew just going off on his Twitter trying to get his players in the news?
I would suggest that if one looks at Drew Rosenhaus's Twitter page, it is kind of the SRS company line. And if I could just give you a quick summation of pretty much every post that goes up, worked out with so-and-so. He looks great, motivated, best year ever. That pretty much sums up for all his 100 clients on a pretty much a daily basis.
Well, now, is that Drew Rosenhaus being one of the best agents out there or one of the worst agents out there?
It's him being Drew Rosenhaus, and right now with over 100 clients, all the biggest names, anyone who says he's not the best agent out there, he's the hardest working. I'll say that.
Absolutely. Well, be sure to check and update his Twitter feed every couple of minutes because you never know what's going on there.
You'll
anything else you want to hit on, Bob?
No, I think we're doing good. Coming off our first draft for one of the magazines last night, had the Pro Forecast Experts draft. Some interesting stuff we'll be discussing in coming weeks, some of the value picks and things we identify from that draft before it comes out on the newsstands later this summer.
Very good. Well, and of course, you guys are always able to check out the news and views section of the website. That's footballdiehards.com. Check out news and views. That's updated hundreds of times a day as pretty much anything is going on, and that is the source for all your football-related information. Thank you so much for checking out the footballdiehards.com podcast. We'll be back next weekend. Until then, be sure to keep up to the website at footballdiehards.com.